Chattanooga on Mother right now!
This is Juan, this is the Fuck at the Podcast, and I am talking to you from the comic shop. Yes, that's it, from the Goblin's Heist, and I'm actually not alone. Who am I with?
There is life! It's Xavier from Dapper 13.
So I finally set up the podcast so we can do it here in the shop, and now I finally got you to sit down and do it. And this old computer's finally fucking working. Everything's coming out perfectly.
So much technical difficulties.
Especially when you're a moron who doesn't know any of this shit. I'm just like, it's recording and doing stuff. Look, yay.
Feedback, what?
Why is it doing that? We're like picking up Necronomicon signals in the back. Like, what? So, we're back and forth all day because we have been working on the shop and everything else. And so, what essentially what this podcast is about, and like that we can tell people and talk to them and everything, is the shop.
Yeah.
I've already said my piece about it. I just said it's nice to be not the guy with the hallucination in the middle of a pod, like, you know, in his bedroom doing acid. A podcast. Yeah. I've got a comic book shop. Sure you do, Juan. Sure you do.
Peyote. Yeah. No, yeah, I mean, this whole thing was kind of a vision, you know? Like, you have to go ahead and put in perspective that there's no fucking comic shops. There are tattoo shops around here, that I know of, at least. Mm-hmm. You know? And it's always been a dream to own both and partner up with both. So it's just like, all right, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah, because what? It was a year, 2 years ago we met?
Yeah, it was 2 years ago at SuperCon that we met.
Mm-hmm. And you had the shop over at the mall. Inside the Mac Center.
Yeah, I had it at the
Mac
Center.
Inside the Hilton or whatever.
The Doubletree, yeah, the Doubletree Hilton. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I mean, over there it was pretty small. You know, not too many complaints, you know.
I was totally going to fuck up the podcast right now.
Why?
I was going to do this.
You're going to fuck up the recording, weren't you? And you fucked up the podcast! No, yeah.
Squeaky door of death.
So, yeah, after the whole, you know, departure from there... you were wanting to get the full story. After the departure from
this
the
This is
hotel,
where the Dapper 13 lawyer needs to come out. According to our subsidiaries. Dapper 13 knows what it causes.
Yeah. No, after the departure, we were just like, all right, so we're going to look for a bigger place, a better place. And I was already wanting to do the whole comic book shop thing. And then John Ulloa was the one that actually approached me.
Yes, Lumbering John.
Lumbering John.
My Mice and Men counterpart.
He's like, why don't we put a wall of comics, you know, and let's do this. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, man, I'm down.
You know how many ideas start out with John just saying, spouting some shit?
I believe it.
You know,
I believe
John
it.
Walks into a room and says, let's make a movie. Next thing you know, we're making a fucking movie. You know, John walks in, let's make a comic about a fucking serial killer rabbit. We're making a comic about serial killer. Like,
and Tommy was born.
Yes, and like 1 year later, you're like, holy shit, this happened. So he does have a magical touch about it. But yeah, no, and it was kismet, I think. I mean, like, shit hit the fan for me. I got laid off. So I had, you know, time on my hands. And I was like, what am I going to do? And I was doing freelance design. And I was like, this sucks. I hate this shit. And I hate working for other people. And then it was like the idea of opening a shop. And luckily, everybody came together and helped us out, I think.
Yeah.
Like, for me, I said, I want to open a comic book shop. And everybody was like, fuck yeah. Like, what do you need? So I was like, all right, let's fucking just go forward with that. And then
I specialize in like pop culture and comic book stuff.
Yeah.
For tattooing. So it kinda like worked out as well.
And then the other side of it is just being in Hialeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That there's nothing here like that.
At all.
And there's so many like people that are into it here. Like if you 90% of the time when I would talk to people at SuperCon or at like Magic City or Animate when I was there, it's like, oh, where are you from? Hialeah.
Yeah.
Wow, all right, let's do this. Yeah, it was perfect.
Yeah.
So
And we're still in the middle of it. I mean, we're still putting all of this shit together.
Yeah, we got one rack left, and then we got four shelves left, plus the TV mounts, pop figures. Pop figures are in the shop!
Yeah, we got pop figures, a pop figure shelf. We have magic, we have comics, comic books. We have all the stuff.
Prints.
It's a small shop, but it's a powerful shop.
Yeah.
It has strength, it has a good heart.
Yeah. We're the David of the David and Goliath.
Yeah. Because, you know, and in Hialeah. Can't mention that enough. Just putting it all together. And so, how did you start with the tattooing? What's the origin story?
The origin story of tattooing. Well, it goes back a long way.
Once bitten by a radioactive tattoo artist.
In a galaxy far, far, far away. Anyway, no. I was into tattoos since I was a kid. I mean, I was, I think, 7. Mm-hmm. When I, like, really started noticing tattoos. Mm. One of my mom's ex-boyfriends had a phoenix on his arm. I was like, oh, what the hell is that? Mm. It looks like a lit-up rooster.
Nothing like a little kid shitting on your tattoo. Really, like,
and then, you know, slowly after that, I just started, like, progressing. And then all through high school. It's funny because, like, there's some friends of mine in high school that are just like, you said you were going to do it, and you did it. Mm. And you did it good.
Yeah.
And all through high school, you know, I got my first tattoo when I was 12, which was hilarious because I had to hide that shit from my family.
You got your first tattoo at 12?
Yeah, bro. Jailhouse Machine style.
Oh, bro. You got one of those?
It was a fucking... It was a E-string and, like, a machine that was made out of, like, a little tape batteries and shit. My boy's like, I got this! I've done it a million times! And it's like, oh, shit.
That's how all the good ideas start.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And when I was a kid, like, it was just like, yes, let's do this! I got a tattoo! And then, you know, as you grow older, you realize that, shit, you know, you shouldn't be doing it that way. Hep C, AIDS, all that shit. It's
everything
like, no!
Fuck you up. Like, it's just, you know.
And then, you know, after that, it was kind of like, I'd always been into comics as well. So, that's what got me into art. And drawing to begin with, and also reading, because you know, comics were my reading rainbow.
Yeah, exactly.
And it just led into like, okay, I want to do like Batman on somebody. I want to do Wolverine on somebody, and then slowly after that, I progressed, and now I'm known for that type of stuff: the anime, the manga, the comics, the movies, stuff. That's what I mostly do. Mm-hmm. That's what I cater to the most.
Mm-hmm. So then what? You started out and what, like... Because you went to...
Oh, you want the apprenticeship story.
Well, also, you went... Well, you are... Artistically, you went to...
I went to AI. Okay. I was one of the few people that got a full scholarship. I fucked that up pretty bad. then I had to do a...
You had that, like, Duke boys look. Yeah. Like, looks like the Duke boys are in trouble now. Yep.
And then after that, I had to sign make a letter to the dean as a, like, apology. Like, I fucked up pretty bad. I'm so sorry. Allow me to come back. And then it was student loans, which anybody that's gone to college and gotten student loans, they know it is hell.
Yeah.
But I went back. I went in there for computer animation, actually. Mm-hmm. And then I thought that I was actually going in for 2D. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that it was IFAC before.
Yeah.
And then it turned into AI the year I went in.
Yeah.
And they had already eliminated the 2D animation program. So it's kind of like, I'm going for animation! 3D! What? Oh, fuck. And then, you know, I left. I went back for graphic design. Mm-hmm. And I never finished it. It was one of those things like, I'm not going to badmouth the school or anything like that, but I had learned so much on my own already. It was kind of like, eh.
That's any school, though.
Yeah.
That's any school. I tell people all the time, like, you know, art school is good. It has its fucking ups and downs, especially if you've never taken an art class or you don't know how to start, it'll implement the discipline and all the shit you need. But a lot of, like, 99% of the stuff you can pretty much find out on your own on the internet. And if you have the discipline and you're on it, you can build yourself up to be a badass artist. So
yeah, it's true. And then, you know, after that, I had looked for an apprenticeship for a bit. I had just started my sleeve. I was 18. And I was like, yeah, let me look for an apprenticeship. Mm-hmm. I went to a couple people. Like, there's some really good artists out in Miami. Mm-hmm. I can't say that all of us are, but there's a lot of them that are. Mm-hmm. And they're good shop owners and whatnot as well. Mm-hmm. And pretty much, I met up with Fame, Omar. Mm-hmm. He does mostly live portrait stuff now. Mm-hmm. And he started my sleeve. And then I learned a bit from him. Mm-hmm. Then shortly after that, I'd say I was single for a while. Mm-hmm. And then I met my lovely, lovely fiance. And there was a shop called... I'm going to actually exclude the name, because the story's not going to be that great. Mm-hmm. So there was a shop that I went into for my apprenticeship. And... she pushed me towards it. Mm-hmm. And that was 8 years ago. And
she's like, towards it.
Like, she's like, you gotta do this. Yeah. Nobody else is gonna... You gotta do this. You've been wanting a tattoo, right? And I'm like, yeah, yeah. So I went in. He didn't charge me. He was originally gonna charge me for an apprenticeship, which is actually somewhat common. Like, mm-hmm. old-timers do that, like old-school mm-hmm. tattoo artists. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, you're taking their fucking time.
So yeah, you're taking their time, and time is money.
Yeah.
So
don't sweat it, kids.
yeah, be really, really prepared if you're gonna try and get into tattooing. Mm-hmm. And he was just like, "No, you're actually pretty decent. I'll go ahead and I'll bring you on board." Mm-hmm. The gentleman had demons, powerful demons, and I met one other guy for there, which I'm not gonna mention either because I don't know where we stand. But he was a great guy with me. Like after that apprenticeship went south. Mostly due to my first mentor's problems, he was the one that said, "Hey, bro, let's go here." Mm-hmm. And I worked at a tattoo parlor called All Stars for a bit, and that's where I kind of like started my career tattooing. Mm-hmm. Mostly names, you know, your local neighborhood shop.
Yeah.
Names, little kanjis and whatnot, stuff like that. And then I was like, "All right, so I got to push it to the next level." Mm-hmm. This is like after I left, of course. I was like, "All right." Push it to the next level. Guest spot at a couple shops. See how well I can do here. Mm-hmm. By appointment only, private studio stuff. And then I got my break. Mm-hmm. I think some of you know me on the radar now because of Pin Miami, like last year, mm-hmm. which was great. It was a small show, but we did really well. Mm-hmm. That was our coming out show, like Dapper 13 mm-hmm. Tattoos. Mm-hmm. It went really well for us. We got put in some magazines. We got put in some TV shows. We got put in some stuff. And then here we are exactly 8 years later.
Yeah.
Almost to the date.
8 years later.
Almost to the date. Yeah. Well, Pin Miami started that whole thing. We got into a bunch of magazines. The Doubletree. Mm-hmm. They went ahead and they took us in, sort of. I say sort of.
That's a whole other situation.
That's a whole other situation for another podcast.
Where the podcast stops right now. And I'll be like, ding, 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 ding. Dapper 13 Corporation.
No, and then the people from SuperCon actually liked us a lot, too. Because we were really respectful. And, you know, at the end of the day, like, I can say that they helped out in, like, the launch of Dapper 13 and my real, like, hardcore career.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So then after that it was SuperCon. Mm-hmm. And that SuperCon was pretty awesome. Some people got tattooed there. If you're listening to this podcast and you got tattooed, they're awesome. Awesome. Because 90% of you guys are still
that
clients.
That means you survived.
I got a bunch of clients off that one. And friendships in general. Like, I'm still tattooing a Studio Ghibli piece that I started the other day.
Yep.
And some of my work now is floating around in Las Vegas and in Colorado from, like, vendors and whatnot.
That's cool.
Now
I was going to tell you. So, I mean, you've gone in this time span. I mean, it's obviously we keep bringing it up, but there's been a lot of crazy shit, a lot of downs. Mm-hmm. As much as there's highs, there were lows. And you got through all of that. I mean, what do you attribute that to? Like, what do you, like...
Determination, man. And, like, you know, really being persistent.
Mm-hmm.
like, at the end of the day, I worked my ass off. It was, like, one of those, like, I have to do this. Mm-hmm. My fiance is counting on me. She actually pushed me towards a lot of this stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, she was just like, you gotta do conventions. Because, mm-hmm. you know, you can't be just, like, some bum. Like, we gotta do stuff. So I was like, all right, fine. So, you know, she pushed me. Like, I attribute a lot of the things to her, too, because she actually went ahead and she was like, you know what? She believed in me when mm-hmm. nobody else would.
Yeah.
And, you know, the apprenticeship status. Whoever wants to get an apprenticeship has to understand that at the end of the day, mm-hmm. you are at the lowest of the low in the totem pole.
Mm-hmm.
There's no cash.
Yeah.
You get tipped out sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, you're cleaning the floors. You're scrubbing the bathroom toilets. You're doing everything. That was one of the lowest lows of my whole thing. And, you know, we have a interruption.
Oops.
And you know, that's what people don't understand too. Like, you know, when you go in for an apprenticeship or when you go in for something like that, you better expect that, you know, I'm not saying you're gonna treat it like shit, but understand that you're not worth much at that point, you know what I mean? At the risk of sounding like an asshole. Like, you're not worth much.
Yeah.
That was one of the lowest points. Like, she literally financed me and told me, hey, look, don't work. You gotta do this. You know, this is your future. I worked for GameStop for a bit. You know,
see, the humiliation doesn't stop with this man. Notice that came after cleaning bathrooms. Like, that was just like,
you know, no. Well, you know, the beginning wasn't bad. There, like, I will say that there's this one manager that was awesome,
mm-hmm.
and his name's Raul Nino. He's over mm-hmm. here in the Hialeah Gardens one,
mm-hmm.
and he started me off there working because he knew that my schedule was like shit. Mm-hmm. It was like, I need a tattoo. Scrape by.
Mm.
Can you help me? Yeah, I can give you a few hours.
Mm.
You're well spoken.
Yeah.
And you look kind of clean.
Yeah,
yeah, bum. Clean. No, but yeah, the lowest point was right after my apprenticeship. You know, you start off and nobody wants to get tattooed by you because it's like, oh, how long have you been tattooing? A month.
Mm.
Ooh.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. No, that's like everything else, you know?
So it's like, ooh, okay, I'll give you $5. And you're just like, I just got out of my apprenticeship, yay, I got paid. And then, you know, that was the lowest low. Like, I had to sell a bunch of my shit. Mm-hmm. I lost my car. It was just a bunch of shit. And, you know, slowly after that, like, you know, I started building up. And like I said, it took pretty much 8 years, you know,
mm-hmm.
to get where I'm at now. This is not going to happen overnight, boys and girls. Like,
how many tattoos would you say you've done by now?
I can't even count.
Really?
Yeah. I've done, like, small shit, big shit.
Like, plus or minus 100?
Over. Like, we're talking, like, over 5, probably.
500? More than 500 tattoos. All right. Yeah, I find that interesting. I mean, like, how do you clock your hours? You know, sometimes, like, when they'll go and say, you know, you probably need 1,000 fucking hours to be in the air.
Well, let's put it in perspective. Like, now, I use this machine called the Cheyenne, which is possibly the specimen of all machines that I've used so far. I'm looking into the FK Irons, if you're listening.
wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Nudge, nudge. Anything with a direct drive. No, but, you know, those needles, I've gone well over, like, 300 liners, and that's how I gauge it. Like, whenever I do brand new tattoos, you usually use a liner to start. So I've gone well over like at least 200 to 300 liners. So alone in the last couple of years that I've been using the Cheyenne, I've done well over 200 to 300 tattoos.
Shit. So all right. So that's the tattoo shit. You know.
Yeah.
Let's still go to the comic book shit. So then, comic wise, what's like your favorite shit? What's the stuff that you fucking dig? What are you excited about now? Like, I already know because.
Well, I'm excited about now. Maybe Convergence.
Mm-hmm.
Convergence seems like it's a pretty cool idea. Although, at the risk of sounding like an asshole again, you know, hey, you know, you just did the New 52 a couple years ago.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like, wow, you're talking to a guy who's reading the New 52 now, and I'm just like, oh, you know how that doesn't mean shit, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like, hey, this is no longer canon.
Yeah, this is no longer canon, they ain't shit. No, I'm trying to read it like a story, like just the pleasure of reading a story. And
yeah.
And I tried to read, like, Geoff Johns' Aquaman. And it's like,
you're really into that one, too, though, right?
Yeah.
At the very beginning, and now you're like...
Yeah, well, in the beginning, I was like, oh, how funny. Like, they were like, oh, don't you... You know, like, the joke was, oh, Ken, don't you have the power to talk to fish? And he's like, no, you don't really talk to fish. You know, like, they don't really talk back.
And I'm have a connection.
Right. Yeah. You know? So that was something. But
do you eat fried fish?
Of course! You can't deep fry them in the ocean, though. Can you?
Yeah, I don't know.
No, yeah, what I'm into mostly is...
Oh, and he came in and he had, like, fish sticks. Like,
yeah.
Like, fish and chips in them. And they're all like, isn't that your friend? No, asshole. Like,
yeah, that's food. It's like when hunters, like, kill deer. It's like, isn't that your friend? No, that's food. I'm against hunting, slightly.
Mm-hmm.
For sport, at least.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm all for hunting as long as it's, like, you know, you and a knife, like, against a deer. Like, if so you bring the deer down with a knife...
You're the animal slaughtering Rambo. Yeah, like, that's what you're...
If you do it that way, if you come over the mountain range with, like, a fucking... Just a deer on your back, freshly killed. Just
how'd you kill it? A knife.
Yeah. Then I'm like, yeah, that's totally legal hunting. Like, yeah. That's totally...
No, but going back to what I'm into, comic books, I've always been a Batman fan. Always. Mm-hmm. There was Run that I was not particularly pleased with, mm-hmm. which was All-Star Batman.
I'm mm-hmm. the goddamn Batman.
You didn't like the goddamn Batman?
I didn't like it! I know, Frank Miller wrote it. It was great. Jim Lee drew it, and mm-hmm. he's been, like, a big inspiration over the years. But it was one of those, like... This is getting redundant. Like, stop saying you're the goddamn Batman, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, in every issue, you say it twice.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
Batman, I grew up DC and switched off to Marvel for a bit mm-hmm. and then grew up again, mm-hmm. like, DC.
So you're an abused child, I see.
That's another podcast. No, yeah, I mean, my biggest things were Batman, I started collecting Deadpool since, like, issue zero, Wizard, mm-hmm. when they introduced him. Mm-hmm. I liked X-Men for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the whole Jim Lee run was
mm-hmm.
great.
Mm-hmm.
Although people would argue that you were too young for that shit. No, I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the midst of it.
Just remember that, for me, it was right after that. When Fabian Nicenzia came in, and Bishop, and the time traveling, and... Nicenzia?
Nesica?
No. Is it?
Yeah, somebody help us with this.
Nicienza. Fabian Nicenzia? I'm saying like...
Whatever.
I don't know.
You know what? I can't even hate too much because my last name, everybody slaughters that shit too. So it's kind of like,
yeah.
What is it? Richie? It's like, it's Reish.
Reish.
And it's like, huh? You want me to do it in Spanish? Rieche.
Yeah.
What is that in German?
Wow.
Oh.
I remember being in an all-black school and just fucking having teachers be like, Juan Nabato? Where's Juan Nabato? You Juan Nabato? I'm like, fuck. It's Navarro, you know?
Can't double R's. You gotta roll them.
Juan Nabato? I'm like, it sounded like a shitty Star Wars character.
Now, independent shit, I mean, like, I was into Wildcats. If you can technically call that independent. At the time, they were. They were
driving me nuts the other day.
They were pioneers, man.
Fucking cartoon.
Wildcats! God. Yeah, the super... Okay, anyway. Yeah, no. That was my childhood, too. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I love that shit. Spawn. Mm-hmm. Spawn was another one growing up.
Yeah. There's something classic about Spawn, and I always kind of root for it, but I've never been a fan of it. I've never been, like... I never, like, sat there and, like, oh, I'm going to read... Every single Spawn, I'm gonna
dude,
sit there.
Dude, I read the first 150 issues.
Yeah, I read the first 50, like 50 or 60, and it jumped off.
And then you know what started that though? Mm. The action figure / comic book.
Yeah.
That's what really started because I was like, I'm a huge action figure / statue collector,
mm-hmm.
outside of comics, of course. And that shit was just like, oh my god, I get an action figure and a comic.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
No, and everybody was buying the action figure.
Yeah.
Because two things would happen. Either you're walking to a toy store eating shit, and you saw them, and you're like, holy fuck, these look like statues. Or you're at your boy's place or something like that, and you look over and you see them on their shelf, and you're like, the fuck is this? And then they tell you, and then you go buy it.
You know, it's funny that you even mentioned the toy store thing. Like, it's funny how toy stores have changed
mm-hmm.
since we were kids and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Because back in the day, it was like, oh, for instance, like the Spawn, I mean, the McFarlane tortured circus thing, or tortured festival, mm-hmm. whatever. You would find those in Toys R Us originally. And then, like, some parent got really butthurt.
Yeah.
And they're like,
this one's half naked, and this one has decapitated whatever. Mm-hmm. You can't carry this in Toys R Us anymore. Like, fuck this. And it's like, oh, come on, you're fucking it up for everybody. So, but no, yeah, I remember those days, and that's really what got me into that, too.
Yeah.
So, what else? Judge Dredd, which is right behind you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about Sylvester Stallone. I am the law. I ain't talking about that.
Yeah, the original fucking comic book that was, like, gritty and brutal.
Oh, Vertigo. Vertigo was one of my things.
Yeah.
Constantine, man.
Yeah.
And I know. Sorry. I don't give a shit.
You should hear this man how mad he was. Well, it's not true. It's not for real.
Canceled yet. Yeah, like, they're doing a petition and all that shit. I love the show. I thought it was really great. A lot of people can actually say that it wasn't. But fuck them. I'm not here to shit on your dreams. I'm just doing it.
Yeah.
Preacher was another one.
Yeah.
Preacher was pretty cool.
Preacher was one of those things that, I got away from comics, and when it was trickling back in, it kept coming up. And like I told you, like, after a while, like, all right, I gotta read this because everybody else is fucking reading it. I think it was in college, and somebody had the first...
Put it in perspective, though. I was like an 8-year-old kid reading Preacher. 9-year-old kid.
Well,
so people were like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But then again, censorship back then wasn't even that bad. It was kind of like a... Oh, he's reading a little book. Yeah, it's a comic.
Well,
and now it's like,
you know what's something that's prevalent in Latin culture that I think a lot of people don't know? Like, it happened to me a lot. Like, my parents didn't know what the fuck I was watching half the time.
Yeah.
Like, I would rent fucking... We were talking about... with this gentleman at the BTL show about animes, and he was talking about Ninja Scroll. What's the other one? Oh, he mentioned another one. That
I know what you're talking about. It was really bad. That one's really
something
bad.
Something the Invader, something the... one of these animes.
Michimi Haraguchi something.
I remember that one he was talking about it, and I was like, fuck. Because I remember, like, if I went to the video club, you know, literally, the video club
back when VHS.
And I would rent something, you know, like, my parents were looking at it, and they're like, oh, it's a fucking cartoon. Okay. And they didn't know I was renting Akira, and I was renting this, and
I mean, it was the same thing with, like you just said, Ninja Scroll.
Ninja Scroll. So I was just like, Ninja Scroll
was bad, dude.
But I remember, like, the dude fucking... Like, the big dude with that would throw that...
The rock dude, yeah.
Yeah, and he would, like, end up going down on the chick.
He went down on the chick, and then he, like, put a whole titty in his mouth.
Yeah.
Like, the entire thing was...
Yeah.
It's a dumping. And then spit it right back out. It was just bad. It was like, oh, shit. I remember I was, like, 10 when I saw it, or 11.
Now, Ninja Scroll, they never, like, completed that, did they? Because it ends on a cliffhanger, there was a thing. It was, like, Ninja Scroll 3.
No. It was a 3-part... Or rather, a 3-DVD anime.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know, obviously, it was a 12-episode anime, but it was just split up into 3 DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of this whole Jubei thing, and where it was weird.
Yeah. I just remember, after that, you're like, oh, cool, where's part two? And you just...
And I remember Ninja Scroll Resurrection came out, and it was like, this has nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Like, look, real talk, I hate that fucking anime. Not Ninja Scroll, but Resurrection.
Yeah.
Resurrection was garbage.
Yeah.
And I know that 90% of the populace can agree with it.
Yeah. I think I remember watching it, and I don't think I finished it, because I go, this has nothing to do with the fucking movie I watched.
Yeah, it was just bad. It was just bad.
God, that was so long ago. There's some kids out there like, VHS? Like, you went to rent movies? Like, was that on a machine for $1 or something? Like, oh, you fucking idiots. You had to
go called Blockbuster.
Yeah.
Or what was it? West Coast Videos?
Yeah, there's Blockbuster, and then we had Econo Video Club.
Econo Video Club.
Which was like...
West Coast Videos. 1,000 movies. 10,000 movies.
10,000 movies.
Yeah.
I remember my friend Adolfo worked there, and he would just you know, you were like, rent 3 tapes, and you get 5 suddenly.
Yeah.
But he would like, hey, bring it back. Like, why'd you give it to me, you fuck, you know? And it was like whatever top movie was that week or some shit, you know?
Dude, you know what though, like back in the day, a lot of people don't realize it was like those VHS's were also like the gateway to like anime in reality. Like nowadays you guys have it easy. You guys have fucking Blu-rays, DVDs,
and
like you can torrent shit online, which I don't condone.
Don't torrent
Anyway, so, you know, but back then it was like, oh, this looks like it's Japanese animation.
Yeah.
Sometimes you were let down very badly.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you remember seeing the animated Mortal Kombat film.
Oh, yeah.
There was like 3D animation, but the front was like anime.
Yeah.
Bad.
Yeah. it was kind of like, and it was like other times too, because then when the Street Fighter animated movie anime came out.
Yeah.
That was cool.
That was awesome.
And then but it was like, it gave you morsels of everything.
Yeah.
And you still wanted to see more. So then they would have other Street Fighter animated shit come out, but it's like the shitty American...
The TBS version? Like it was TBS. On USA Network.
Yeah. The USA Network shit.
Yeah, and those were bad.
And then when you, like, blew $3 on renting that, you're like... I remember renting shit that sucked so bad, but you blew $3, so you're like, oh, I'm gonna fucking watch this. Like,
yeah. You sit there, right? I just gotta sit through it.
Cross your arms and say, fuck it, I'm watching this piece of shit.
Take the punishment for being stupid.
Because of desperation.
But there was other things, like Guyver came in through VHS.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah.
The Guyver.
Did you ever see the live action ones?
Fuck yeah, dude. God. Both of them were good for me.
You know what's funny is that at that time, I think there was just like certain things that were coming out. Like, you know, anime and manga wasn't as prevalent as it is now. So there was only certain things that were out.
Yeah.
And it was like, because I remember Neon Genesis Evangelion was like...
Evangelion.
Evangelion was just... It wasn't out there, you know? Like, it wasn't like, it wasn't in the video stores.
Dude, even when
that was like, to me, like what the anime kid had. Like, that was the thing that... They were like, oh, you gotta watch this.
Even when it came out on DVD, I remember I had the original... I don't know if you guys... if whoever collects anime, you know, if you put it in perspective, like, when you had the DVDs, they were DVD box sets.
Yeah.
But they weren't like what you get now, which is like, oh, it's a little DVD case or a Blu-ray case that has, like, 5 discs inside the little Blu-ray case. No, it was like, a giant thing that you had to put on a bookshelf.
Mm-hmm.
And Evangelion was one of those.
It was a display, yeah. That one was a big...
I still have it to this day. Yeah. It's still awesome. Blue Gender was another one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I remember Blue Gender. You know, I've never seen Neon Genesis all the way through.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't want to ruin it for everybody.
Don't.
But it's awesome. They have a new one that just came out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fucking excellent. Excellent. Mm-hmm. Animation's on point. It's kind of like... I want to see it as a reboot, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you just added 2 more characters to it.
Mm-hmm.
But same storyline. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Guyver, which, fun fact, 2 of my favorite 80s and voice actors are in there. Part 1 was Mark Hamill,
okay,
the detective, and part 2 was David Hayter, Solid Snake. So
I just remember it was just one of those things that you would pick up, and what's great is that you didn't have the internet, so you didn't really know what something was about.
Mm-hmm.
You just had the box. And you look at the box, you look in the back.
You read the description.
And I'm like, this could be something, and then you take it home. You really didn't know what you were going to have. And then you put it in, and you're like, what the fuck? Like, you would take a shit.
Yep. Like, part 2 of the Guyver. I always thought of the Guyver live action as, like, a very ultra-violent Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Like, stupid ultra... like, there's part 1, there's that one scene where they swallow the eye, or the Guyver eye, and fucking... the Guyver forms inside the... I forgot what they're called. The mutant thing, whatever. And he slides his blade.
Beast or something.
Bio beast. He slides the blade from the chest all the way down to the crotch and he explodes out of the stomach. And I was like, what the fuck is this? So imagine you're a 10-year-old boy, 11-year-old boy watching this shit and you're like, whoa.
Well, yeah, that was how I was with Akira. I remember.
Oh, Akira, that's, yeah.
This guy, classic. This guy named Anselm bought it one day and we were in a cinematography club at Dash and a bunch of us just sat around. And we put it in. And I was like... At first I was like... animation, whatever. I was a fan of like all the Ralph Bakshi shit. Like the old school shit. Because I had seen it from the video clubs. I saw Wizards. I saw that.
Yeah.
But I was like, what's this going to be about? And I was like, whatever. And then when I saw it, I was already... But then again, I was curious because I saw the comics. The Akira comics. So I saw, and when I saw it, my first thing was, oh shit, this has blood in it.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, oh, fuck. Like, that guy got
that's an
shot.
Understatement.
Like, that motherfucker got shot. Like, that wasn't, like, a laser beam that slightly grazed.
And then you watch further into the movie and people explode.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa!
And they just blew my mind.
Well, another one that was like that, if you put... there was one. It was about a little girl. And she killed pedophiles. She was an assassin. Kite.
Oh, I think you don't know.
That one was ridiculous, too. Part 1.
Mm, yeah.
Part 2 was like, meh, okay, whatever, you're trying to do this.
Yeah, no, a lot of those, I mean, they were just so damn different that you were just like, so you know, you're looking at animation in a whole other fucking form. I mean, Ghost in the Shell was another one, too.
Ghost in the Shell is an awesome series.
That was the kind that was just like, what the fuck am I watching, you know? I remember guys that just, you know, would get the Intron Depot books, because that was Matsumune Shiro.
Yeah.
So they get all the fucking Intron Depot books and everything that came out of Japan. I'm like that about Tomokatsuhiro and Akira and everything else. I want to pick up their books.
It's funny, because those two artists / authors, like, what did it for me was they kind of turned me into another hyper-violent manga, like, aspect. Tsuhiro Maru and Junji Ito.
Yeah.
Those guys are, like, insanely crazy manga.
Well, it was like those guys were the next step.
Yeah.
Like, those are the guys that were like, oh, because I was reading Pulp. And that was a magazine that would come out. I remember Warren Ellis would write for it and all that. And the whole thing was, oh, this is, you know, intro. And then it was Spirals,
I think. Spirals, yeah.
That was Junji Ito.
That was Junji Ito, yeah.
And then
Nosferatu was
Banana. Tsuhiro. What was that one? Banana something. And then that was a detective story.
Yeah.
And they had all these, the weird stuff and the cartoons that were like, haha cartoons, but they were fucked up. Like, I forgot the two guys. So I would read them, and I would just like, what the, you know, again, is this one of those, like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Why aren't we doing shit like this, you know, kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah. And there was just so much stuff back then, like the Junji Ito, the Tsuhiro Maru. Oh! Berserk.
No. Berserk is another one that was very particular, because I read the manga first.
Yeah, I'm still reading the manga. Yeah. Like, it's still going on. It's been 20
I had, like, some kind of loose mangas or something, and I just read them.
And he yawns.
It's been a long day, man.
It has been a long day. We just had a bunch of...
Yeah, and, like, yeah, like, well, you got to take a nap.
Yeah, that was fucking good.
This is what happens when you run a shop, folks. You're just running on a lot of cafecito.
Yeah, my wife's not here, and she's dead too. She's another one that's been working on the shop day and night.
Yeah.
So, but we've all been like dying here.
Yeah.
Trying to make sure that we open up on time.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
the tattoo portion's open, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, so you can't come in and tattoo. You can come in for
consultation.
Consultation.
I don't charge a consultation. I just charge a deposit if you want to get tattooed.
Exactly.
But no, yeah. Going back to that, it was Jesus, what were we talking about? It was...
Well, Berserk.
Berserk, yeah.
I read the manga first. I read some manga of it, and then I was like, oh, shit. And then the...
Kentaro Mutsu... I forgot his name. His last name.
Whatever.
He's I think, to this day, he leads in penmanship for manga and storytelling. Because that guy has had a ridiculous... I mean, when a manga's been running for, like, almost... I thought it was 23 years, but I was doing the math. It's, like, been 26 years, you know? And people are still hooked on that shit. It's, you know, you're doing something right. It's like he devoted his life to Guts. Gatsu.
And there's so many things, you know. Kentaro Miura.
Kentaro Miura, yeah. That guy's a beast. A beast.
Beruzuku.
There you go.
Beruzuku.
With Gatsu. Yeah, but dude, the story we're telling on that is just ridiculous. Griffith is a fucking awesome villain / anti-hero / antagonist / protagonist. He's everything. Guts is just, you feel bad for him. The shit he goes through.
Have you seen that there's a new, like, 3D kind of aided
the animation? Anime?
Yeah.
I've seen
it's like new anime. It's a new anime.
I saw the one from the 90s, which was... decent. I mean,
for what it was.
For what it was. The new one is more towards the manga, but if you put it in perspective, it's like, it's too slow. You're doing a small story arc that's part of like an entire crazy story arc.
Well, yeah.
So
they put it on Netflix, and I'm like,
yeah, they're OVAs.
Anybody who has not seen this,
yeah, they're not going to be turned onto it.
Yeah.
Well, at least the first one. The second one's actually really, really action-packed and good. The third one that I think is coming out this year seems to be very action-packed and good. On the same token, I mean, you should read the manga first. So you really feel for the character. Because what you see in the manga is just nothing in comparison. Like, the violence, the death, his turmoil, his torment, everything, what happens to him, it's just ridiculous. Yeah. I'm talking about Guts. Because Griffith was... You know, Griffith is just a bastard. Fuck that guy. But like I said, he's a great villain. What else? Oh, you heard about the new DBZ film that's coming out in the States.
Yeah.
It already came out in Japan.
I already saw some clips and shit. I already saw, like, somebody put some shit with just transformations and shit. But it just seems same old, isn't it?
Well, that's what I think is the magic behind it. I mean, look, most of you have heard the news. If not, you will. They're doing another season to add on to DBZ, which makes me go fucking crazy. But it made me feel old, because when they said the last Dragon Ball series was 18 years ago, released 18 years ago, I was like, wow, I feel old. And, yeah, I mean, I'm really into it. I can't wait to see it again. Because that's what I grew up on, too. Like, DBZ and, what else? Dragon Ball. I don't know if anybody remembers the golden age of Cartoon Network, which was... Or what I like to call Dragon Ball Z Network at that time.
When? That was,
98? Yeah, 98, around
98. Well, yeah, that's when the Dragon Ball... That's when every fucking comic shop I knew had bootleg fucking Dragon Ball videotapes. Everybody had some shit, because it wasn't fully on yet. Then by then, it got onto the networks. But people were playing catch-up. They would have, like, the first Dragon... That wasn't even Dragon Ball Z, it was Dragon Ball.
Dragon Ball, yep.
They would play those episodes, then Dragon Ball Z.
Yep.
And they would have to play catch-up to all the Japanese shit as it was being released.
Yeah, well, which is very... Well, see, that's the funny thing. They were playing catch-up, and we were rather playing catch-up with Dragon Ball Z. And now you have something like Naruto, where it's instantly dubbed overnight.
Yeah.
Or not dubbed, but subbed. And then you have to wait like 3 months for the dubbed version to come out. Yeah. But shit, you know. And now Naruto just ended. And they just did, I think it's the son's name is Boruto. Mm-hmm. And then that series just aired a couple weeks ago. Naruto ended in November. And now it's, what? It's May.
Yeah.
And it just aired, Boruto. Mm-hmm. So it's like, wow, you're really milking that dead cow. Like, shit.
Well, all of that shit. That's, that's kind of some things like Full Metal Alchemist. I kind of like how it's like,
there's a definitive end. Yeah, I completely agree with you.
Cowboy Bebop.
To this day, I wasn't the biggest favorite fan of the anime ever.
Yeah, Cowboy Bebop, that had a real fucking like ending to it. Not my favorite ending, but it was just, you know, it had something to it.
Spoiler. No, I'm not going to say it. Fucking.
Yeah.
Fuck Vicious. That's all I can say.
You know, it's like one of those things where, you know, I don't know. There's something to be said about that. I think those become really timeless, you know?
Yeah.
Other ones which were like soap operas, like Sailor Moon and Inuyasha. I mean,
dude, it took Inuyasha 10 years to finish.
Yeah,
like it's on its it did its final chapter. Now it's like the unknown years or some shit like that they're running on Cartoon Network. I'm like, fuck, bro. No, it's the final chapter right now. It's like, fuck, dude, really? Like this already died like a year ago.
Look at this way. I think it was it was cool, then it was not cool, now it's cool again.
Yeah,
thing, and now it's like, you know.
It did the hill.
Yeah, it did the whole thing. Hills. Like, it just, like, meh, meh.
It did boobies.
Yeah.
And top of the boobie. Cleavage. Yeah, exactly. Top of the boobie again.
But that's the thing. Like, none of those ever captured me for too long a time.
I agree.
Some things, like Big O did.
Oh, my God, dude.
That
yes.
one I was interested in. Like, that one I was like, what the fuck is going... Like, you come...
Big O. Big O. Big O. Yeah. Big O.
Yeah.
I'm like, sorry, I shouldn't be saying shit.
But it was one of those things that was like, you watched it and everything, you know, like, okay, you got me with the big robot. You got my attention.
It was like Batman minus the bat suit in a big ass robot. That's what it was for me. With a butler that was badass.
But then it had like a weird, what's his name? Like, bad robot, kind of like fucking lost plot to it.
Yeah, that was like the second season.
Yeah, like that. Nobody's
everybody had amnesia. About what really happened, and everybody's trying to find their way. And that actually had a great ending, though.
Yeah.
I remember that had a great ending. Big O was one of them. I mean, if you put it in perspective, like, the stuff of, like, I want to say the Silver Age of Cartoon Network and Adult Swim, that was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Where they played Blue Gender, they played G Gundam, which some would argue is, like, the worst, and some would argue it's the best. They played Big O.
I never got into Gundam.
Really?
It was cool. I saw parts of it, and it was interesting.
I mean, I'll put it this way. The only two Gundam series that I love is 00 and G Gundam. G Gundam is by far my favorite. Outside of that, it's like, it's pretty entertaining. I like them. Yeah. I know people that build the models for like massive hobby, almost like a career.
Yeah.
You know?
It was funny that happened to me at Past, Present, and Future at Free Comic Book Day, where I was where they sat me was right in front of all the fucking Gundams. So like I was there and people were just looking at me at times, and I'm like talking. I'm like, man, I must be really capturing people's attention. Like, you know, oh, this dude must be really into what I'm saying.
It's just the Gundams.
And the guy's looking at me. He's like, hey man, can you hand me that one behind you? And he's getting frustrated. Cause I'm like, this one. He's like, no, the Firehawk model. This one. No, it's the red one to the right. This way. No, to your left. I'm like, I don't know which one it is, dude.
Just come around the booth and get it.
I don't know your fucking nerdy shit, right? God, be patient.
You know, but on the same token, stuff like, that led into stuff like Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
Which I think is a phenomenal movie.
Yeah, it was all the same genre.
The fan service is ridiculous.
The thing with Pacific Rim, and it's nothing bad. I have nothing bad to say about it. Because I just never went to see it in the movie theaters. I finally saw it when it was, like, on HBO.
You missed out.
Yeah, I know. I was like, I can't take the crowds. I can't. I've told you.
Yeah.
I explained to you my problems with going to a movie theater. But my boy Miguel and I grew up on, like, the idea of fucking Big Macs. Like, that was, like, our dream, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I remember I had dreams of seeing ATSTs running down fucking 49th Street. Like, I was like, oh, my God. If I saw one day, I would cry. I'd be like, I want to ride it so bad. But, like, it was, like, and it was the best, that was the best review I could have heard of a movie, and it convinced me to watch it, was when he turned around and goes, dude, it's everything we talked about as a kid, about big robots.
Personified
on a screen. Just put on a screen, right? It's all the shit we talked about, like, all the shit that should be done in a movie like that. And, you know, and I think we were talking about it the other day when they were talking about the director of Fast and Furious doing Robotech, you know.
It's possible.
It could be a faster movie. Yeah, like, it could be a faster mech movie. Because this one was just
slow mechs.
Throw away a punch. Which is cool. It was fucking awesome for them to fight the Kaiju and everything else. That was, like, cool as shit, you know? And it actually lent itself, like, there was parts there, too, when certain characters died and shit. I was like, no, you know?
Oh, the Russians?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Spoiler. I never loved the Russians. I'm sorry. I never loved Russians so much until that couple.
Yeah.
Big Red, whatever.
And I think what Legendary did was, I think they would, when they released the comic books, they added on each team, and there's prequels.
Yeah, there's prequels.
Comics, yeah. So I think one of them is on the Russians. Yeah.
Which, by the way, we might bring in the statues.
Yeah.
I'm pushing for them.
I'm talking about getting them now with our distributor and everything. And
but they're so fucking awesome. They're so detailed.
Yeah, and they're gigantic.
Yeah. Movie talk, though. We just saw the Avengers on opening night.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, what was the term? Circle jerk of nerding?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, oh, my God. It was awesome.
Circle jerk of nerding. Yeah. That was one end to an end. First off, there's going to be spoilers. So, if you haven't seen the fucking movie, turn off the podcast. Go see the fucking movie and come back here and join our circle jerk.
Make sure you do not forget to turn back on the podcast so that you can bask in the glory of our spoilers.
Yeah, it should be like at 50 minutes in. You know? But yeah, I will say this right off the bat. Good, awesome fucking film.
Yes.
Fun. I was surprised how funny it was.
Yes.
And it was fan service. It had everything that we wanted, I think.
The fucking vision. The fucking vision!
And let me tell you something. That goes to show you how powerful a movie can be. Because really, I don't know about you, but I always thought the Vision was kind of a boring character in the comics. Well, like, it was a character that was cool. Like, he did shit. They made him interesting in the last couple of years, you know? Between one thing or another. There was always a...
Well, that was the build-up for the movie, too. I mean.
Yeah. Like, I wasn't always an all-time Avengers fan. I wasn't. I never really... I think I liked West Coast, you know?
Yeah.
A little bit. Just because it was a human story. But most of the time, I didn't give a fuck about the Avengers until I think Bendis got his hands on it.
Yeah.
And they started writing cooler fucking team stories. And then I gave a shit.
Well, keep in mind, though, the Avengers came around where everything was paquete. And if you guys don't know what paquete means, it means cheese.
Yeah.
Like, it's cheesy as fuck.
Yeah.
You put that on macaroni.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cheesy for a while. It was very campy.
Yeah. So I think the movie did amazing.
Yeah.
Afterwards, we're all like, you know, oh, we love the Vision. We love the Vision. Now we're like, I want to draw the Vision all the time.
I've always liked the Vision because of the whole backstory. It depends on what backstory you're going on, of course. I go off of the Wonder Man backstory, where Wonder Man, spoiler if you haven't read the comics, Wonder Man dies. And he was dating Wanda Maximoff, the Scarlet Witch.
and his soul got transferred to the Vision. Mm-hmm. Ergo, why the Vision is so important to the Scarlet Witch. Mm-hmm. You know? And there were hints and nods about that mm-hmm. in the movie. But that was my whole thing. It was like, dude, Wonder Man's the shit. Oh, he's dead. Oh, he got transferred to the Vision. The Vision is the shit. You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, the movie itself was really, really crazy. The Hulkbuster scene, look, it is complete fan service, that Hulkbuster scene. Hmm. Sorry. Go to sleep. Bashing his head in.
Yeah.
Dude, that movie
was
awesome.
You know, I was reading some Easter eggs about why... So as I was saying...
We got interrupted, sorry.
Yeah, I got interrupted. This is what happens when you run a store and try to do a podcast. Veronica, if you notice that Iron Man called the suit, the Hulkbuster suit, Veronica, that was a whole ode to Betty and Veronica. Because who is the Bruce Banner in love with?
Betty. Master Betty.
Yeah. So because of that, you know, I thought that was kind of funny. But yeah, the movie overall was just...
phenomenal.
I mean, if you guys have seen it, and there's again spoilers, but you know, you have the scene that was in the commercial where everybody tries to pick up the hammer, and if you're worthy, and it's funny because everybody just doesn't talk about it, but like, you know, Captain America did manage the budget a little bit.
Yep. Yep. And then, the spoiler, the Vision. Let's get to work. And he picks up the hammer and gives it to Thor.
The hammer, like, everybody's he's passing like, a cup of coffee.
Oh, shit.
And I told you, like, I don't really go to midnight showings of movies that much. I'm not, like, big on that. But it was fun to do this one because everybody was like,
Yay! See, midnight showings like this, for the genre that it's in, you know you're going to get the hardcore nerd.
Yeah.
Like, the hardcore Avengers nerd that's like, I know everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard some snickers, too. Like, the soul gem's supposed to be on his chest. It's like, shut the fuck up, bro. Like, really? Shut the fuck up, dude. It's on his head. Give him a break.
Yeah.
You know? What else? There's a few things. Like, at the end, when they were talking about... Well, you know, he was an android. So, if you put the hammer in an elevator, the elevator's gonna go up. Is the elevator where it is? So, yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot funnier than I thought it would ever be. I was just like, what?
Oh, fucking Ultron's the shit.
No, Ultron's actually, like, comical in there, so... No, overall, that movie was fucking just... And I mean, the thing is, too, it's like a movie that I think anybody can go and enjoy. Like, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to know all this Marvel shit to enjoy it. It opens fucking badass, because it was, like, straight to the action.
Yeah.
It played like a comic, too.
Yeah.
Because the thing was, like, the action sequences with Captain America, I mean, every time he threw the fucking shield, it was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. And ping, 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 boom, ping. Boom, boom. Ping, 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 boom, ping, you know.
Oh, funny
Black
little...
Black Widow kick ass.
A little spoiler. The whole Iron Man designing the bracelet for the shield.
Yeah.
Being magnetic. Which, if some of you know, he's going to drop that eventually. Mm-hmm. He's gonna be like, it fucks up the weight of the shield. I don't... like it. Mm-hmm. You know, Civil War is gonna be awesome. The next Marvel movie is gonna be Ant-Man.
Yeah,
so hopefully that one does really well, because a lot of people started talking shit about Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. And it turned out to be the funk. Like, Guardians was actually the shit.
Yep.
And well, Mr. Navarro here is not completely with Guardians up until like recent years.
Yeah, not really. I mean, Annihilation was what got me into the space adventures.
Nova Corps.
Yeah, Nova Corps. That was cool. Like I said, I was in the Guardians, to me, in the beginning, was like, this is kind of hokey. Like, what the fuck is this? Mm-hmm. You know? But I was like, all right, well, then it's, you know, I just couldn't get into it. But then Annihilation Wave and what else was it? And all the books afterwards that showed that was awesome. Yeah. I actually gave a shit about the galactic, you know, yada yadas of the story. So... I mean, that was interesting as shit. So, I mean, you know, yeah. So,
let's see how Ant-Man goes.
Ant-Man. I've heard from a couple of sources that it's a lot funnier and a lot cooler than what the trailer leads on to. So that gives me some faith. Which I figure with Paul Rudd in it.
Well, yeah. Well, again, keep in mind, trailers are a double-edged sword. Because the Avengers was also portrayed as something else. Mm-hmm. Like, it had a... like a very like cartoony undertone, but the movie was actually rather serious.
Yeah, it had actual things in it, like, you know.
And it made you feel the dire, like, desperation of the human, mm-hmm. you know, the human race. But I guess that's almost it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're just about done.
Yeah, well, we're done with the fanboy circle jerk on.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just spilled seed all over it.
All over.
It's all over it.
Something about Mary. It's in your hair, man. So, borrow some gel.
What do we have coming up?
Well, you're doing a Collector's Con, right?
I'm doing Collector's Con in Jacksonville this weekend. We're Friday, doing Saturday, Sunday.
The BTL show in Miccosukee on May 30th, no? Together?
The Miccosukee?
Yeah.
Are we going to... Okay, yeah. Most likely, depending on how the store is.
Well, depending on how the store is. We're doing the midnight release of Mad Max. Yeah. The BTL, Cine Bistro, Dolphin Mall.
Hopefully.
Be there. Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully.
On Friday. It'll be there on Friday. Saturday's the grand opening. May 16th. Is the grand opening of The Goblin's Heist / Dapper 13.
Yes, it's at 9160 Northwest 122nd Street, Suite 8, Hialeah Gardens, Florida 33018. I'm going to put it in the podcast notes anyway, and probably the flyer and everything.
Hours of operation are 11 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
It's really 12 p.m.
Yeah.
12 p.m. to 8 p.m.
Yeah, most of the time, Wednesday?
Monday through... Well, remember, I'm going to be here too. So, Monday through Saturday, it's 12 p.m. to 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And Sundays, it's 12 p.m. to
6
p.m. We're also doing Florida Supercon.
Yeah.
Which is June 24th through the 28th, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, it's a weekend before 4th of July.
There are a few out-of-state cons that we're going to be doing.
Yeah.
I was gonna be brought on a tour on a
tattoo.
On a tattoo tour, but that might be put on hold due to certain things, scheduling conflicts and other things on my plate. Juan, what else you got lined up out of state?
Well, I don't wanna mention too many right now because I have Heroes Con coming up.
Yeah.
That's definitely gonna be taking place, and I have Special Edition New York. Which is another one that I'm probably going to be doing. But those are special editions, tentative. Heroes Con is for sure. So as I get closer, I'll announce the dates and everything.
And we might be doing, outside of Supercon, we might be doing another convention together out of state. So keep your eyes peeled. We'll let you guys know either on www.thegoblinsheist.com
mm-hmm.
or www.dapper13.com. You can go to the event page and you can see everything that you need to see there.
Yeah.
For me, as appointments and whatnot, if you want to book an appointment, all you have to do is just go on to dapper13.com, go to consultations, and I'll get your consultation sheet through the email. I'll reach out to you, or if not, just show up to the shop.
Yeah.
If I'm not busy, I'll be there 100%, and we'll talk everything through, do the consultation right then and there. Usually, Mondays and Tuesdays are the deadest days for me, but please call ahead of time. You can call either one of two numbers.
786-631-3866 is the store number.
And my personal store number, or my personal customer number, is 786-262-3378.
Sorry, I had to laugh because that car was parking and it looked like it wasn't going to stop. I was like, oh shit, this podcast is about to get real.
Did you hear that shattering glass and Xavier's bones cracking underneath the
fridge? Ah!
But yeah,
was right.
We're gonna be doing. We're gonna carry a lot of stuff. I mean, you can pick up your pull list here. We're gonna have subscriptions.
We are gonna have comics, graphic novels, toys, collectibles,
dollar bins, shirts,
apparel, shirts, and stuff like that. We're gonna really try to get this shop. This is a small shop. It's not a big shop, but we're gonna have very particular stuff here. So we're gonna have comic zines and stuff like that by local artists like Jairo Lantigua. We're going to have local art prints by guys like Kenny Cortina.
Kenny Calderon.
Kenny Calderon. That guy,
Cortina.
Too.
Damn. Kenny Calderon.
Hey, man, Kenny Cortina's pretty good, too, man. Yeah.
Kenny Calderon. Wow. Andres Redondo. We're going to have...
Creature.
All the Creature guys. Jeff DeCall, Jose Baris.
Patrick Riley.
Patrick Riley.
We're going to have all their art prints.
Juan Navarro.
Xavier,
Reich. Let's just go for the
Reich. I just like Reich.
Yeah. Reich is good.
Reich. I want a goose.
You don't ask certain Germans about the Reich. We're going to have pop figures. We're going to have action figures, statues. The motto is, if you want it and we don't have it, the Goblin will get it for you. Mm-hmm. You know? We're going to have pretty cool back issues, you know? Mm-hmm.
We're gonna curate the store a lot, so yeah. Even our dollar bin's gonna be interesting. So, no bullshit there. You know, you're gonna be able to find cool stuff.
Oh, and one thing, you can pick up lots of prints from local artists, if not like outside artists from our state.
Yeah,
we have a lot of friends.
Yeah,
you know, and they're
I'm talking to Dave Byrne to get some stuff from him.
Lee Walls.
So, yeah,
you know, one of our friends.
So yeah, a lot of these guys that hit the con and they do a lot of work out there. You'll be able to find it here all year long. And
there might be a special guest.
Hopefully.
Because of my family ties, which I'm not going to release that yet.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting, too. So
he worked on Avengers. That's all I'm going to say. 200.
So hopefully that'll be something. But, yeah, it's going to be a local shop here in Hialeah, and you guys have it. And if you guys are out there, I would just greatly appreciate, like you guys have done for the podcast and you guys have done for my other projects, you know, just spread the word, tell your friends, you know, and come in and check it out and let us know how we can be better, too. I mean, we're not going to get it in the first one, you know?
Yeah, it's always, with business, it's always a hard thing. You got to build up from there and then just, you know, do your thing. We will be technically open. I say technically. On the 13th, I believe, is when we're going to open our doors just for, like, you know, whoever wants to check it out.
Yeah,
whatnot. The grand opening, again, is May 16th, which is a Saturday. It starts at 11 a.m.
till midnight.
Till midnight. Because the flyer
God
says...
God damn it! You know, other people can call common sense.
Yeah, but we're going to have a barbecue. We're going to have some, you know, refreshments and good stuff, you know.
Food and a lot of local, I mean... there's a Facebook event page. I'm going to put that also in the podcast notes so you guys can see it. I mean, there's already like 63 people showing up. And
God knows how many flyers we put out this weekend.
And it makes me scared because this place can only hold so many people.
Well, you know what's the funny thing? The fire department, well, we have one fire inspector, which we're friends with, and he'll be here to, you know, guide us in the ways of, this is too many people. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you can come by, say hi to whoever's here. Some local artists will be here. We can't say who because we haven't confirmation.
Yeah,
with a few of them. But you know, we have Kenny Calderon will definitely be here. I will definitely be here. Juan will definitely be here.
A lot of the guys from Creature will be here. And that's it.
That's pretty much it for right now. Yeah.
And
you can say hi to our hot wives.
Exactly.
But keep in mind they're our wives. So exactly. No grubby fingers.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean that's pretty much it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think we covered everything.
Yeah. You can't do I'm not tattooing during the grand opening, guys. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you can do consultations.
You can do consultations, we can talk, we can set dates up, we can leave deposits, but I will not be tattooing the 16th. I'll be tattooing the 15th in the morning. Mm-hmm. And the 18th on. I'm also taking whoever wants to get something done at SuperCon, Florida SuperCon 2015, and wants it to be awesome and wants it to be possibly videotaped because we might be doing the tattoo time lapse stuff and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Let me know. Reach out. Either Goblin's Heist or Dapper 13, it's fine, whichever one you want to go to. And just let us know. So that way we can go ahead and get everything done. Also, you can reach us at info@dapper13.com. You know, just let us know what your idea is, because if I'm really into it, I mean, well, regardless, I'm always into it, but if I'm really into it and you're like, oh, I want to do a Batman or a Spider-Man or Judge Dredd or Spawn, whatever the fuck.
Do they have to ask for it with that voice?
Yeah. That'd be nice.
I want a Batman.
If you want to do that, just let me know, so that way I can go ahead and put you on the scheduling book, and I'll even try to get you in. Like, not for free. I'll pay for your pass. and deduct it out of the price, so don't worry about it, all right? Well.
And that's it for now. I'm going to be back next week. I'm going to try to capture some of the stuff from Jacksonville. Obviously, I always say I'm going to try to capture stuff from these cons, but I get too fucking busy to do anything. So We will talk next week, guys. Let me know everything in the show notes. You can always get in touch with Fuakata and everything that's going on at Fuakata.com, F-W-A-C-A-T-A, and at my Twitter, at Fuakata.
And my Twitter, xriachart, or my Instagram, at X-O-R-A-R-T. I have to accentuate that.
X-O-R-T.
X-O-R-T, yeah.
X-O-R-T.
And then X-O-R-Art.
Yeah, X-O-R-Art.
Zor-Art.
X-O-R-Art.
Or at Dapper13Tattoos.
Yeah.
Which is also the other Instagram.
Yeah.
Or the Dapper13 fan page.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. And next week, maybe I'll get Kenny to get on the podcast and we can
the
make
long-legged, fun. Pissed off Puerto Rican.
Yeah, yeah, we can make fun of the Puerto Rican. So we'll get all Puerto Rican-y next week or something. And on that, hey, and on that note, see you guys next week.